Welcome to MoneyWeb Now. Business news every morning.
It's Tuesday, 21 June. I'm Simon Brown, coming at you live and loud from the MoneyWeb studios in Houghton, Johannesburg. On the show today, chatting with Larkin Gooney, you know, touching the Omnia results. If we've got a moment, we'll also touch on that City Lodge update. Gareth Elston, storage results, but also I want to talk storage as a subsector, as a category within the REIT space. And Hilton Kahner from Discovery Bank. They had a million accounts, 450,000 customers. I'm interested in the evolution from sort of nudging to lifestyle. We'll dig more into that. This show is brought to you by Stanlib. Visit stanlib.com to get in touch with one of their investment specialists. Stanlib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider. Morning headlines from MoneyWeb. Freight industry and government sign agreement to stop N3 blockades. This includes an operator license, much like we have in the taxi industry. But I got to say, agreements are easy to sign. I don't know that's necessarily going to resolve the problem. Time will tell. Business day, City Lodge Hotel Group occupancies improve to break even levels, but still sitting on a large debt burden, $720 million. Morning markets, US was closed yesterday for Juneteenth. Asia is green, Sydney up 1.5%, Tokyo 1.75% higher. Commodities mostly green overnight, gold a little weaker, $1,843. Everything else green, with Brent, $115.39, platinum $938, palladium $1,880, rand $15.99. Top 40 opening call about 450 points to the green. That's 0.75% as Tencent trades up 2% in the Hong Kong lunch break.
MoneyWeb Now on the money. Also available on podcast.
Standing now with Zulakim Gunis from Benguela Fund Managers. So, Zulakim, appreciate the early morning. The Omnia numbers, I mean, there's a lot to like about it. Special dividend, historic PE, probably low double digits. What struck me is the rights issue in 2019. They have now returned $2.4 billion in dividends after raising $2 billion at the time. Your prospects looking forward?
Yeah, Simon, thanks for having me. I think certainly that we've seen a significant improvement in the numbers in Omnia, and I think you have to give credit to Celan and his team. The business has shown a significant improvement, has shown discipline in cost management. I think if you look at the top line, the growth was decent at 30%. I mean, part of it is the benefit of commodity prices moving up. Mm-hmm. But certainly the operating profit and margins showed a very nice improvement. And like you said, I think they ensure that they share some of that success with the investors. I mean, a special dividend of that size, I don't think it's something that's happening often in this market.
Yeah, no, absolutely not. I mean, a 525 special dividend is giant on back of a 275. They're in agriculture, they're in mining, two spaces which might be slightly off the highs of you know, certainly the commodity prices of beginning of last year, but still a space where demand should still be coming through.
Certainly. I think if you look on both sides, I mean, the situation in Russia, as unfortunate as it is, mm-hmm. it's been something that's been very beneficial. Also, from a pricing power point of view, the pricing power has come back to both the agricultural sector and the mining. I think they had a very good harvest and planting season that they were talking about. And it seems like things are looking up on the agricultural side. But also in the mining sector, I think, like I said, the situation in Europe might actually lead to more commodities being sought out from African countries. And I think that would actually support mining, and that would see Omnia benefiting as one of the service providers or suppliers to that sector.
Quick thought on City Lodge trading update. The line that struck me, and there's lots of moving parts here. There's still debt. They're still trying to offload assets. But the May 22 occupancies was on par with the May 2019. In other words, kind of back to the pre-COVID, although there are some T's and C's. But your take on that update?
Yeah, I thought it was quite a good update. I think it's showing very nice evolution. I mean, like you said, data side, I think it's a beautiful evolution. They're moving towards higher occupancies. I think they said in May 2022, the SA side was about 50%, and the whole group was around 49%. I think. The benefit of operating leverage is going to come through now, because now you've got a fixed cost base. What will happen is they'll pick up on, as you increase customers, or at least asset utilization, you'll certainly get some nice improvement in profitability. So it's quite encouraging. I mean, they've gone through a very deep downturn, and they've survived.
Yeah, they have. I mean, and as I mean, it was a massive rights issue that they had to do at that point in time. They also make the point that they're actually cash flow positive on a month by month basis. So certainly after going through the ringer, they've come out the other side. Still debt. Make no mistake. Still some debt there. We'll leave it there. Zwelakhe Mnguni, fund him. Benguela fund managers, appreciate the early morning time.
We all have different investment needs. Some of us want to preserve our money for retirement, and others to create wealth for the next generation. At Stanlib, we have a team of investment specialists that can help you achieve any investment goal. So whether your money is looking for more certainty, more return, or more impact through your investments, we have a solution for your investment needs, no matter the time horizon. Join us over the next few months as we provide insights into the solutions we offer to meet your money needs. To find out more, visit stanlib.com or speak to your financial advisor. Stanlib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider. License number 719.
MoneyWeb now on the money.
Chatting now with Hilton Kohner, CEO of Discovery Bank. I suppose disclaimer up front, I own Discovery Shares, which of course owns Discovery Bank. Hilton, appreciate the early morning time. Hitting a million accounts, 450,000 active users. When was the launch? I mean, these numbers, if my memory serves correct, seem perhaps a little bit ahead of initial expectations.
Yeah, morning, Simon. Yeah, we are. We're very pleased with the results. We launched, it was just over 2 years ago.
Yeah.
Nearly 3 years ago. So the growth is ahead of expectation. And in particular, you know, I think the last 6 months or so, we've really seen good traction and the numbers start to accelerate.
Yeah, I mean, I suppose an online bank is the perfect space for a pandemic when we couldn't go anywhere. Is it mostly attracting existing Discovery customers? Well, you also managing to get a fair amount of non-Discovery clients and bring them into the fold?
Yeah, it's a great question, and because you know, I guess the Discovery footprint and client base is large. Mm-hmm. You know, we have over 4 million clients in South Africa, but notwithstanding that, about 50 to 60% of our new clients are completely new to Discovery.
Wow.
So the bank itself is growing well within the existing client footprint within Discovery, and I think mm-hmm. you'd expect that because a lot of the rewards and the sort of the architecture is similar, and clients benefit from being a part of the bank and other parts of our business. But we actually are attracting more clients from outside Discovery than within currently. And that's, you know, I think that's a very, very healthy sign for us.
Yeah, that is notable. You mentioned rewards there. We have chatted around the concept of nudging. And it's kind of, I mean, it's in the Discovery DNA. We see it in Vitality in the health side. We see it in the insurance side. We absolutely also see it in the bank side. But my sense is that this is also, there's nudging, but there's also a lot around lifestyle. And I'm thinking particularly the rewards, the airlines, the lounge access and the like.
Yeah, absolutely. So our entire model in every part of the business, whether it's health insurance, life insurance, motor, is built on the same architecture of shared value, of as you say, nudging our clients in the right area. But it's really about incentivizing them to behave in ways that are good for them, but also good for us. And bank is exactly the same. So if people manage their money well, they get excellent rewards, like high interest rates and travel, exactly as you said, discounted travel on flights. We announced that yesterday,
mm-hmm.
The fact that our clients can get discounted travel on every single domestic and regional flight across South Africa, and also access to our priority fast-track lanes at the airport and through a really exciting strategic collaboration, the access to the SAA lounges that will now be the SIA Discovery branded.
And one of the key points that struck me, particularly around the airline discounts, is that it's not an exclusive with a single airline. It is across the board. It is all the airlines. I'm sure there's some very, very small ones that I haven't heard of, but it's all the big names that we know. So it's not kind of corralling me into a certain space. It's saying, you know what, if you're traveling, work or holiday, you can potentially sort of get benefit with your Discovery card.
Yeah, absolutely. So it actually is every single domestic flight that you can have. So we've got Air Link, SATA, Lyft, SEME and SIA. So that's every single domestic or regional flight that you could take in South Africa. And we've been able to achieve this because we built our own booking platform, Vitality Travel, where our clients simply go onto the bank website and then go onto the Vitality Travel platform and they can book directly and see the discounts reflected. They're fully embedded. It's a simple integrated process and every single domestic flight available in South Africa is available on a discounted basis for Discovery Bank clients based on how they're managing their money and their health across our system.
Okay, I hadn't realized that. So you sort of almost sitting there as an old-fashioned travel agent. I'm thinking back, you know, 20 years ago when we used to have to physically go to a travel agent and they would type away at their computer. I mean, you've got that interface between the entire network.
Yeah, we built that. So we've built it locally for flights and accommodation. International flights are also available, and we've also done a full booking.com integration. So whatever inventory you would expect on booking.com, which is the biggest sort of aggregator in the world, you'll see on our Vitality Travel platform as well. So over a million hotel rooms and inventory across the globe. So I think that we probably are the largest, if not one of the largest, effectively sort of travel platforms in the country already. Our clients, our members, are booking over 4 Boeing airplanes every single day through our platform on Vitality Travel. So it's a really, really popular and valuable benefit, and the discounts are significant. Our clients get on average over 30% off a flight, and over a third of our clients are also using Discovery Miles to book either partially or fully for the flight. So it's a true shared value model. They earn the miles as they get healthier and spend their money well, and then they go online, they book, they get a discount on the flight, and they can use the miles to sort of pay for the balance. So it really is a great end-to-end experience.
You mentioned earlier around the nudging and how people can, you know, with good financial discipline, they can get better interest rates and the like. No one's going to say no to a higher interest rate, of course not. But I mean, do you have any data that suggests that is actually compelling and driving behavior?
Yeah, absolutely. So we see that our clients that engage in Vitality Money and are managing their money well. So what we would see as sort of our gold and diamond status clients, they move from blue to bronze to silver to gold to diamond. That's the status roadmap. And as they manage their money well with savings, with spending less than you earn, managing debt, etc. What we see there is that our gold and diamond clients, where they earn high interest rates, about 7 times higher deposit rate than savings rate than few clients across our client base. Their arrears rate is almost zero. So they pay on time, they manage their debt effectively, which is good for them and it's good for us, and they derive significantly more rewards. So it really is a true win-win in terms of the sort of shared value banking model that's manifesting.
Yeah, and it is that nudging concept. Hilton Gaynor, CEO, Discovery Bank. Appreciate the early morning. And that's our poll today, LinkedIn and Twitter. Do rewards programs influence your decision of what financial institution you bank with? Have your vote, have your say on Twitter and LinkedIn.
We all have different investment needs. Some of us want to preserve our money for retirement and others to create wealth for the next generation. At Stanlib, we have a team of investment specialists that can help you achieve any investment goal. So whether your money is looking for more certainty, more return, or more impact through your investments, we have a solution for your investment needs, no matter the time horizon. Join us over the next few months as we provide insights into the solutions we offer to meet your money needs. To find out more, visit stanlib.com or speak to your financial advisor. Stanlib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider. License number 719.
MoneyWeb now. On the money. also available on podcast.
Chatting now with Gareth Elston, talking storage results. Gareth, appreciate the early morning time. The numbers coming out yesterday, I mean, they're not knocking the knocking it out the park, but I suppose they didn't perhaps have as bad a pandemic as many of the other REITs did. I'm thinking particularly office, of course, to a degree, retail. They kind of came through, and in some ways, the pandemic played into them. We all had to work from home. We had to go and store stuff, so we had space to work from home.
Good morning, Simon. Yes, great to join you. As you mentioned, you know, storage is one of those property sectors that benefits from what they call the four Ds, which are death, divorce, downsizing, and dislocation. So it's almost as if the pandemic is probably one of the most perfect storms to hit them for a while. Not as perfect as logistics, but yeah, it's one where they were able to benefit. And I think the markets took a while to realize that storage companies were globally. And last year, internationally, they had very, very strong performance from the international companies that come off a bit this year. And looking at that strong growth that they've had and the strong results that storage has delivered pretty much over the last 5 years, actually compared to most African companies, is they have performed quite well. It's very much, I would say, a steady-as-you-go business. Mm. They're doing all the basic things right. They're building a brand. They're building a high-visibility presence. And they're able to leverage that within the market and charge a premium versus their competitors, which is a nice position to be in, especially compared to most sectors at the moment.
Yeah, and it is, and I take your point on the four Ds, and we can almost add to it. I mean, if we look at the sort of hybrid model, I think I said tongue in cheek that we needed to make space during the pandemic, but probably a lot of people did, and probably a lot of it stays. And we're also starting to see a bunch of sort of the smaller e-tailers, e-commerce people also use it. I was certainly on the storage side and locally surprised just how much both in the SA and UK operations is corporates. Now, these are not giant corporates, they have small businesses, but it was a chunky number.
Yes, and it's a global trend, and it especially works well for smaller companies where you don't want to be using your square meters that you're paying a premium for in a mall or anywhere else, really, to be storing things. And you can really get a much more cost-effective, easy access, safe and secure system from the storage company. So it's growing, it's doing well. And I think we'll continue to see those numbers, you know, at least they're stable, especially in South Africa, and probably continue to grow internationally.
If we look globally, because, of course, I mean, locally we've only got the one storage company on our JSE. Globally, it's a fairly biggish sort of subsector within the real estate investment trust space. My sense of it's kind of that middle ground. You said a moment ago, they're never going to be the sexiest, fastest growing. They're not logistics, which is totally in the right space at the moment. The flip side is they're also sort of not office, which is at the absolute crunch point. They're a nice REIT or sector within the REIT to put into a portfolio for that diversification and stability.
Indeed, it is a very defensive sector, and as I say, it does well during almost all time periods. So you know, when you have downsizing happening, you have a lot of movements. You have people moving houses, and the economy is doing well. So when it's bad, as I say, people will be downsizing, people will be moving. Mm-hmm. It manages to capture that. So it makes it quite defensive. It's obviously just one that they have to be careful about, you know, make sure there's enough growth within the market. I think South Africa, there's still a bit of runway still, mm-hmm. but eventually it will probably start to run out of space. But, you know, internationally, it's not a lot of companies available that you can invest in, about 11, I believe. Mm-hmm. Not all of those are REITs too, but the point is that of that, the ones that are listed are pretty big, especially in the US public storage, especially to think of that, and then the two UK giants that have performed extremely well as well. So it really is, I wouldn't say an exciting sector, but it's certainly a sector that you can see quite soundly at night having invested in.
Yeah, I take your point in that. As I said, not an exciting sector, but a sleep well at night. And there's nothing wrong with sleeping well at night. Gareth Elston, as always, appreciate your early morning insights. That's it for today. Our poll yesterday, we were chatting with 10X Investments CIO Antonessa, talking around active versus passive debate, which at many points in the sort of last decade or so has been very much sort of people on either side of the debate sort of planting their flag. And he says, no, but hang on, you can use bits of both. And I think that has certainly been the evolution that we've seen. So we asked you whether you use bits of both. And fully two-thirds of you said, yep, absolutely. They work well to build a portfolio. Just under 30% were saying passive only, with a small remainder of you really only going the active route. Have your vote, have your say, Twitter and LinkedIn. This show is brought to you by Stanlib. Visit stanlib.com to get in touch with one of their investment specialists. Stanlib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider. We're live every weekday morning, MoneyWeb website and the app, 6:30 a.m. podcast just after 7. Thanks to my team, Eddie Nebuchle, Nicole Tetetso, to you for listening, my guests for their early morning contribution. My name is Simon Brown. This is MoneyWeb Now. We'll chat again tomorrow. We're talking the end of lazy investing.
You've been listening to another MoneyWeb Now podcast, posted every weekday at 7 a.m. on moneyweb.co.za. MoneyWeb Now, on the money.